he's right here, so. Oh, he topped it. He cold topped it.
Okay. Ready to go. Yeah.
Gate iron.
Oh, shanked it. Oh, look at that line, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, boy, is he out of sync.
Welcome back to another episode of the Bogey Boys podcast.
You're joined here by your hosts, Kevin and Mark. This is season 3, episode 29, Team Europe.
Team Europe.
Can I think that's quite fitting because it does both, doesn't it? The old Solheim and the Rada.
What a team performance, eh?
Sick, wasn't it?
Siganda there, man. Birdie, bang, bang.
I was away, but I've just caught up the highlights there.
It was unbelievable to watch. I know we'll come on to it later when we do the reviews, but just as a everything about it, going 4-0 down in the first session to then fighting back, 8-8 going into the final session, and then 10-10, got to 10-10, then it was 13-12 to USA, and then it went to 13-0, 14-13 to Europe.
We won't review that then. There you go, folks.
Anyway, how have you been, mate? I know you've just got back from Amsterdam. How was it?
Oh, mate, it's brilliant. Completely different side of Amsterdam. I seen there, honestly, if I would have done that again, I'd probably go and, book a game of golf and all that. We were in, a nature resort, cold water dips in the morning, saunas.
Seen it all, yeah. Look good. Look refreshing. When you think of Amsterdam, you think of madness, don't you?
Well, last time I was there, I was just walking around in circles, just cabbage. But this time, we were just, basing from gaff to gaff. Yeah, nice. Few chillers, just getting scrands, bit of duchy, and it was just
when in Rome, as they say. Speaking of Rome.
Yeah, just going to Madame Tussauds, going to Ripley's, believe it or not, just doing museumy type thing. There's 85 museums in Amsterdam.
I didn't know that.
I think they throw the word museum around a bit loosely,
they
got the Museum of Prostitution, which is just
basically a sex.
You can imagine.
I know.
The Museum of Cannabis, just all madness going on. But
yeah,
just doing boat trips and went to Ajax's stadium. That was pretty sick.
Yeah, it's a beast of a stadium, isn't it?
Oh, it's
a bit of trouble there this weekend, though, weren't they?
Well, yeah. So we were going to go to that match, but they wanted £180 a ticket, and they weren't guaranteed. When I was reading up on it, they weren't guaranteed to be in the safe zones, so you could be in with the lunatics.
Yeah,
because when we went on the Saturday just to have a little stadium tour, going all through the dressing rooms and up onto the pitch. I was taking a picture of the ultras putting the banners up, and then this fella just ran over no pictures, no pictures. I was like, "Sorry, mate, I'll delete it if you want." And I was thinking he's going to come and check my phone. I was patted out my head.
Yeah.
Oh, but it was a great trip. Feel refreshed, feel great, feel buzzing.
Ready for the next chapter of what? Bogey Boys appear on. We've got so much going on.
Oh, there's so much happening. Yeah. Let's, do you want to get into that?
Yeah, we can do, yeah. A bit of fresh clothing on you there.
Fresh clothing on you as well, my friend. Yeah,
this is the new drop. We've landed last week, two new hoodies, this maroon beast, that grey beast.
Yeah.
And we've also got the women's range now, 3 brand new colourways on the polo shirts.
Well, that's it. We've obviously got that hoodie, what you've got on there, the maroon one, which is a perfect fit for men. And then we've got this one, which is a bit of a slim fit, so it's more of a unisex hoodie for the women. So a lot of women saying the board are the stereotypical pink and lighter colours, and they're excited with the grey, so it's worked out well.
Yeah, yeah. It's not officially on the website for sales yet, but we've done a bit of a pre-sale, didn't we, while we get all the product photos together and we get it ready for online sales, and it's flew out, hasn't it?
It's been doing well, and the proper comfy and the proper warm as well. Shameless plug, that's just facts.
No, it is. Raw facts, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. It's and then obviously the women's polos, we've gone for our unique design, what we go for, the space dye multicolor at the top, along with the block color at the bottom, and
they look mega, don't they? I wish they were really in men's.
We've had a few messages to say I'd wear them.
Yeah, the multicolored one that we've done in the multi red and the multi blue. That's a multi pinky yellowy thing. Yo, it's
like
boss.
A pastel one, isn't it? Yeah, it's all the different colors. It's gone down well. To be fair, we've stocked it in the retail stores that we've that we're in currently. So if you're in and around, Whittle Golf Club, Witness Golf Club, Chilwell Golf Club, Booms and Swingers, pop in and you'll be able to check out the new range.
Feel the quality and try it on and
make your purchase. If you're not, then you've always got the online sales, and there's a returns policy if you don't like it, but I'm pretty sure you will.
You will?
Yeah. But we've got a lot going on, like you said, at the moment, haven't we? Obviously, there's the clothing, which we launched November last year. We've nearly been at that for a year now. Obviously, it's provided a lot of different opportunities for us. And then obviously, as part of creating the clothing brand and the ecosystem, we've got the Appearance Academy, haven't we? So we've got another session, new head coach in Daniel Croft.
Yeah.
PJ Professional, one of the Appearance athletes.
No, definitely. I thought that all the fellas and the lads on the first session on Tuesday were loving it.
Yeah.
One of the lads who couldn't make it, his car broke down, his uncle came, and then he's bringing his son to the next one. So they're going to come a little bit earlier, get tuned up with the first week. And I think everyone's just buzzing for a little bit of accountability to go to the range once a week, if well, anything.
That's it. The whole point of us putting this academy together, there's obviously two elements to it, isn't there? And the sessions that we're running now, it's, you know, it gets you to the range once a week, every week for 6 weeks. You're getting tutoring, you're meeting new people, and you're learning how to play the game properly.
No, definitely.
And that goes so far, doesn't it? Like, even I went and played SNA on Friday with my mate John, and his brother-in-law came over from... He currently lives in San Francisco, so he was over, played a load of different courses, and took him up to SNA for a knock. And like, even though I weren't part of the sessions because we attend and we go there, the things that Dan was saying, I was remembering, and even going back to what David was teaching when he was running the sessions, like, you sort of remember it, so it's part of like my pre-shot routine now, what they're saying, even though I'm not practicing it, and I had it well.
That's it. I've told you this. You can practice in your mind, and you didn't believe me. You can do it all in your brain. Just keep, like, better than not thinking about it, isn't it?
Yeah, no, definitely. So we're running them sessions now. Next one is going to start on the 5th of October. So anybody in the local Liverpool area, or if you're willing to travel from afar, then it's going to be 6 weeks starting from the Thursday the 5th of October, 6 p.m. till 7 p.m. We've got a couple of spots available, but we're going to be running a number of different sessions, and obviously just trying to give people another option to get into golf.
Exactly, and like our whole motto of it all, like when you're saying there's two sides, we're obviously going to take the community interest company into the schools and bring them to the range and get the kids and make it more accessible that way. But it's getting it more accessible for people who could be older and might have never played, or they used to play. I think one of the lads used to play when he was younger, and now he struggles. So he just, instead of getting loads, however many individual lessons, he just gets six in a little block and knocks the rust off. So it's perfect.
It's perfect timing as well. The winter months are coming in now. You know, you do a couple of these sessions and you're ready with a new golf swing, aren't you, for the summer?
And I might sign up to the next one, mate.
Yeah.
I've got John, the lad who I've been going to see, John O'Neill, he's on my case about a winter training camp.
Okay.
Where you like go down to Conway or you go somewhere else and you do like 3 full days of like skills test assessments, and it's for elite players. Like, so I was like, you know, if I'm elite, like, but I'll thanks for the invite. You know, you run that, you got no one to fill it up or something. But no, I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Am I getting involved in that? Is that open to choppers like me, or?
I think I was pushing the boards on elite there, like, shut the fuck you are. Now, I think we might as well go down. We could film it, couldn't we?
Oh, so you want me to bring the camera then, is that what you're saying?
You'd be the cameraman, lad.
Perfect. Okay. and then I mentioned before there, obviously, Dan Croft running the sessions. He's one of our appearing athletes. Obviously, unlucky at Q School, out in Austria. Yeah, so made the cut for the first part, but then obviously had a couple of bad holes, I think on the 9th hole. He made the triple. Or a triple.
Triple dribble.
Or a double. Can't remember. And yeah, just missed the cut to make it into the final day. But Joe Brooks shot a final round 8 under.
Nice,
that. Last week to qualify for second stage.
That's what you've got to, like, it's mad, isn't it? But you've half just got, I know it's not all luck, but you just need, because it's so many rounds.
You've got to hang in there.
Yeah,
you've
just got to grind it and then beast
get yourself
it.
Through, yeah. But I know, obviously, Paul Kinnear is over in Denmark now, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's trying to qualify, so good luck to Paul out there.
Yeah, I've seen his post today saying he held a little chippy 5-iron from 175 yards. It's going to be a good feel, and it going into the tournament tomorrow.
100%, yeah. They're the type of things that you want to be taking for your confidence, isn't it?
1,000,000%.
And then I know in November, Jack McPhail is going to Q School as well.
Is there just that many knocking about, is there?
Well, Jack gets into stage 2.
Oh, does he? Yeah, how come?
Yeah, I don't know.
Faldo series?
Either Faldo series or his ranking or something. But yeah, he got straight into stage 2, Jack.
It's mad that as an amateur as well, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Thinking he's had a good season, hasn't he?
I think it's just a qualifying event, isn't it?
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, because Joe Brooks had a great season as well. Any loads of top.
Chappie, I suppose,
a good season. Played a couple of Challenge Tour events and talk on a Chappie. Obviously finished 21st, on a Challenge Tour this week over in
classing
France.
That as a top 20, mate.
Yeah, same.
Appeared on athlete top 20.
Top 20-ish.
20-ish,
yeah. Yeah, 21st. Yeah, he shot 2 under, 2 under, 2 under, level 4 under.
That's what he was saying to me. Like, he was like, I've had one round over par all season. That was an open qualifying first round when it was blowing a hooli. I think he was something like 100 and something under for the season.
Yeah.
So, like, he is a level. I know he's not really, he hasn't won on the tartan tour, but, or on the clutch or not, but he, like, I feel like he's played on Challenge before, hasn't he, in 2018?
He did, yeah. Yeah. I think for someone like Chappie, I think once he gets to, he's the type that, because he's so consistent the way he plays, I think once he gets on the Challenge Tour, if he gets that chance to get the card, he's that good and consistent that he'll stay on there.
Yeah,
he'll
eventually
get the breakthrough win.
When I play with him, it reminds me of what Chris Hansen said, where he was like, my game is more suited to main tour, but I think like Chappie's game is more suited to, he's not really a plodder, he's more of a go for everything and it's a big,
yeah,
and holes puts where there's, like, I think Hansen described himself more of a fairway green two put, I mean, grinding out levels one unders and sticking it out there on the main tour sort of thing.
Definitely. Be interesting to see what the future holds, and if for Chappie, to see if he can get a Challenge Tour card.
1,000,000%, yeah.
Obviously,
be...
I don't know if he can get one now through the tartan tour because the last event's Glen Eagles this week, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I think he's 9th, is he, or 10th in the standings overall?
Yeah, I think his management company have been getting him a few starts in there. So I think he's quite pleased with them.
Yeah.
I was going to give them a shout out there, but I can't remember the name of them. Adam Chapman's management company. Well done.
Yeah, well done. But yeah, no, so I say things are busy plodding along. I know we haven't been as consistent with the podcast, but it's generally been because we have been busy, so it's been for a good reason. So
yeah, there's just as we said on the Local Lab podcast, you haven't got to be great to start, but you've got to start to be great. And you just don't know what opportunities are going to open till you actually start. You can't think about like, oh, this might happen, because million times out of a million, everything you write down or think about, something different happens.
Yeah.
So you've just got to embrace it. And then like moving, like the reason I'm saying that is because I went onto the Facebook messages and got a message from a lad who was in my form, who I haven't spoke to since school, and was talking about this rewards thing that we were like, what's this sort of thing? And then next minute, he sets us up like a blank appear on rewards page where all the customers from Apeiron and like the Bogey Boys or anyone that we give the code to can get cash back on all of the purchases. Like, you, what did you book? You booked?
I booked a hotel on booking.com, yeah, and got, I think the cash back was like 3.2%. I got like £28, £30 back straight away. So
exactly,
rather than getting the discount and saving it, they're giving you it back.
They give it straight back. So I booked some Protein Work stuff. I booked a Domino's, obvs. I booked.
Did you not book your hotel in Amsterdam on booking.com through it?
No, but Joe did.
Joe took the
lead on that. Yeah, and he ended up getting the cash back. So because I done it, I was going to do it, but I thought if I get him, this is the main thing about it. I think it's getting people used to the fact of like going on, using it, what's on their reward, and then getting the rewards back. So getting into that process of like thinking, what is the?
Well, I booked mine on booking.com straight away, forgetting I had the rewards package page, and then I had to cancel me order and then rebook it through the app, and it comes through straight away. Because it's a pay at the property, I don't actually physically get the money until I've paid for it.
Yeah, it just goes into pending.
It goes into pending, but you can see what's there and what's available. I think it's a great concept, and anybody who wants to sign up to the Appear on Rewards package, we'll put the link up and we'll put a post on, and you'll be able to link down below. That's what they do, innit?
That's what they do.
Click the link below.
Click here or here.
Yeah, but yeah, obviously there's over 4,000 retailers on there. You can book your holidays through it, and it's just giving you a bit back. There's also different discount codes that are put on all the time. You can also get some discount on Appear on clothing, because that's on there as well.
It is, yeah. I think it's only getting bigger and bigger as well, isn't it? Like any businesses out there could also get in touch. You can get your own white label one and then give it out to employees as employee benefits, and there's loads of different things. The company's called Exclusive Rewards. We've sort of commandeered the golf side of it, golf rewards, and then we've got our own white label ones on the back of that. So if anyone wants any more information, just drop us a DM and we will get that over to you.
We certainly will, yeah. Should we talk golf now? Enough about us.
Yeah, let's go.
Any golf news then before we move on to Birdie Bogey Bush time?
Do you know what all the golf news I found, apart from Charlie Woods, is on the juice, by the way.
Why?
Have you seen him?
No, I've not seen
him. He's a beast.
What?
Looks like he's like been in the gym and like I think he shot 6 under, won the junior tournament by however many shots, Tiger on the bag.
Was he? Yeah,
Tiger is walking 18 holes, which is other big golf news.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Tiger done a clinic as well. Did you see that?
I've seen the clinic, yeah.
Don't watch fucking YouTube.
Yeah.
Great that. And then, so yeah, that's fit and healthy Tiger. That's hopefully, if he could play the PNC or it's going to be the Masters in it again. But
well, that's it. Yeah, you know, I think he's definitely going to come back, isn't he?
Oh, yeah, been 1,000,000%.
Yeah, he's not done. So no. The fact that that is there, that little cliffhanger, excited to see if he can get back soon. I'm back.
Yes.
Birdie bogey bus time.
Birdie bogey bus time.
It's that time again, y'all. The birdie bogey bus. The birdie bogey bus. Birdie bogey bus.
Right. There's only it. Obviously, it's the title of the show, isn't it? Team Europe. Has to be the Solheim Cup victory, doesn't it? The birdie of the week.
It does. But you know what? It's a bit. I know they've won and it's great and the American, like they've retained it and all that, but only watch the highlights. So many putts when like grazing the edge, lipping out, just dropping on the wrong side. And then the momentum, I think Pedersen missed a short one. Then she missed one against Lexi Thompson, wasn't she?
In the final round.
In the final singles, round. Then she lips out on the thing on the 17th, didn't she? Then Lexi had to hold that part, It was just...
It was over by then, though, wasn't it?
It was over, but it was... No, it still could have been won, though, couldn't it?
Oh, yeah, it could have been won, yeah.
Fully rather won. So, but then it was just... But she missed a couple during the day.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I thought... Just on the highlights, I thought Lynn Grant... Are we going through the whole Solheim now, or what are we doing?
Yeah, we'll go through it, yeah.
Yeah, I thought Lynn Grant... Like, some of her long game was just unbelievable. Like, Leona Maguire was quality.
Yeah, I think Lynn Grant and Maya Stark, for me, were like the ones who, going into it, you thought, you know, the pathway that they've gone through so far is obviously dominating on the LET, coming over to the LPGA Tour. Obviously, Maya Stark's not won on the LPGA Tour, but Lynn Grant won this year. Lynn Grant obviously won the joint men's women event as well. So you look at them too and you think, you know, they're the next two big talents coming out of Europe. I know Charlie Hall's played really well this season. A number of different runner-ups.
That's five. Charlie's like fifth or something. Solheim, isn't it?
Yeah. But that's like a fifth or sixth runner-up just this season, isn't it?
Oh, no, yeah. He's had five runner-ups. Yeah,
five runner-ups. Yeah. Coming in, so playing unbelievable golf. Got into the top 10 in the world for the first time. So you went into the event with high hopes for Team Europe, but then you've always got to look at the other. You know, Lillian Vu, major winner. You've got to look at...
Rosanne coming through.
Yeah, exactly. Then you've got...
Angel Yim was in the team. I didn't realise that.
Yeah.
I've played with her in Saudi.
Yeah,
she was a beast.
Played with
it. Well, yeah, me and my Caddied. Team. My team. Team Melikova were there, yeah.
Walked with it.
It was on the Saturday, so you might not know about it. Like, no, it's after the cut there.
Top 20, though. Have you finished?
What, on the seniors?
Doesn't matter. It's laying more dollar than you.
Sick to wear having beef over other people's golf, innit?
No, but that's like... Obviously, Nelly Korda, you know, the list of talent goes on that American team. So
Kang
you knew
Kang
was...
Zhang.
Kang Kang Zhang, yeah. Can be quite confusing sometimes.
Needed you there to separate them.
Danielle Kang, Megan Kang, Rose Zhang.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were the first three out as well on the singles as well.
Was the, yeah.
Yeah, it actually went Kang Kang Zhang.
Megan Kang, I've seen her loads, but I've never really like proper looked at her swing. It's mad, isn't it? The way she like sort of like holds it off and like dead like slow and like...
Yeah. She can putt, by the way.
Yeah, my word.
Yeah, the putts that she was holding, especially on that final round.
Yeah, she's a beast.
To beat Lynn Grant as well, first out, you know, takes something, doesn't it? Because the way Lynn was playing.
Yeah, no, 1,000,000%.
Yeah.
Where was it?
In Spain.
Was it, yeah, what course?
Finca Corsita. Can't remember the name, but Finca Corsita or something.
Yeah, because I was looking, I thought I knew it was somewhere like continental Europe, but I was looking, I was thinking, I need to check this before we start, and then I forgot to check.
Well, that's, yeah, it was Finca Corsita or something like that. It's called. I've never seen it. I've never pronounced that wrong.
I've never seen that course, but it doesn't look unlike Paris National, did it?
Yeah, a bit of a walk, like there was a lot of undulation there.
Yeah, and then that first was a piece as well, isn't it? Like
drivable.
Drivable. Pedersen just pitched it on the green. It was like, that's what you got to do, haven't you?
That's it, yeah, you got to go for it, yeah. But do you know, that was it. That's what the thing about golf, isn't it? Because first hole there, Lynn Grant, it's a three woods, clears the green. Megan Kang lays up and then puts it to about, 8-10 foot, knocks it in, wins the first hole. And, you know, when you're thinking Lynn Grant being the aggressor there, ends up losing the first hole.
That's it, so. Yeah. It's not always he who dares wins, is it? Because that's you've always got that chance to.
But that's what you need in them type of Ryder Cup settings, isn't it? Like them type of risk or reward.
Oh, definitely.
But there's always them momentum swingers. Like obviously, Team USA go 4-0 up in the, and nobody expects that.
No.
Nobody expects them to go 4 up. You know, we put out a very strong team, and then we win 3-1 in the afternoon. Was it 3? It was 3-1, wasn't it, in the afternoon?
Unsure.
So we did. So we're 5-3 down, and then obviously the next day. We win that session. We win the next two sessions, and then all of a sudden, it's 8-all going into the singles. So you just know straight away. Obviously, Gemma Driver, a rookie, gets 2 half points, halves in the singles, half. So she gets 1 full point, undefeated in the Ryder Cup. There's just so many different storylines. But the one for me was Siganda. You know, it's in Spain. She's Spanish. You know, Nelly Korda makes that birdie on 15, was it, to get it back to all square. And at that time, it's 13-12.
Yeah.
13-12 to America. Nope. 13-12 to Europe at that time.
Yeah.
And the Lexi Thompson game's pretty much finished because she's like 4 up with 5 to play or whatever it was, 3 up with 4 to play. So it would have took a miracle for Pedersen to get that back. And then you've got Siganda all square with Nelly Korda. Obviously world number 3 at the time, but obviously arguably world number 1 if she'd been fit all season.
Yeah.
So you're looking at that and then you're thinking, right, that's it. Like, America's got it.
Yeah.
They've won it. Do you
know what I mean? Like, and then Korda goes and, like, seals the deal with a little 10-footer.
Yeah, on 16, yeah. 16. Puts the pressure on Siganda, yeah.
Wow.
And then all of a sudden, like, if there's ever a time to step up and give yourself that hero tag, it's there, isn't it? Like, sticks it stone dead on 16.
Yeah, pretty unbelievable.
Much.
Little gap then, wedge in there, wasn't it?
And then obviously goes one up, steps on the 17th tee. She's got the honour. Bang, does the exact same
tough
thing.
Tough flag as well, like that back left, to get it in close there.
Right at the
probably
pin
the closest
as well.
All day, wasn't it?
It was the closest all day, yeah. And then obviously that piles the pressure then on Nelly because she's thinking, I've got to get it close. She tugs it slightly and then nearly chips in.
Oh, the chip in. We just took the flag out and everything.
Yeah, so, and then obviously then there's the putt to, obviously not to win it, but to retain it. And then obviously 14-14, we kept the Solheim Cup team Europe. We just need repeat this week, don't we?
Oh, no, I think we need more than that, you know.
Oh, yeah, we do, yeah, because if it's 14 all, we lose, don't we?
Not even that. I just think after the embarrassment, we need a whoop-ass. We need a whoop-ass and, like, rapid.
Well, before we get on to talking Team Europe, Team USA for the Ryder Cup then, what's your bogey?
My bogey is Zach Johnson.
Do you know what? He's my...
I think, do you know what's annoying? If Koepka would have finished, I reckon, another place down... I don't reckon he would have even picked him. It was only that he finished one point out.
Keegan Bradley.
Yeah.
Because
he was like, he's picked Brooks, but Brooks was basically in the team until he couldn't.
I think what helped Brooks over Bryson. Are you talking about the Bryson thing? Yeah.
Bryson DJ, anyone? Yeah. Like,
I think obviously Bryson's won 2 of his last 3 starts, hasn't he? On Live, won again this week. He's come out and he said, obviously, Brooks is obviously going to kill it for Team USA next week, and I'm excited for the team, but it definitely does sting a little bit. You know, what you say what you want, we're still golfers, and I personally think that given the way I've played this week, I could have definitely racked up some points for Team USA. So there's a bit of bitterness there, and you say it does sting with Bryson, but I agree, because that's my bogey. It's Bryson playing as well as he is and not getting the selection for Team USA.
Yeah, well, Bryson, actually, another, like, to follow on from that quote from Bryson, it said, it would have been nice to at least get a call. There's numerous people I think Zach Johnson should have called out here. We didn't get that. and I get it, but we are nothing different.
Well, that's my bust. My bust is Zach Johnson.
Oh, is it? Yeah, well, that's my bogey. Call, yeah.
So I just, I've got a
slightly different, more personal bust, me.
I think if you look at, you know, what Bryson DeChambeau's done, and I agree with you there, I think Brooks Koepka, I think the reason Brooks got the pick was obviously because he was so close, and it would have been a catastrophe not when you win a major championship and you don't get the selection. But I think overall, when you look at popularity, Bryson's never really like got on with everybody from the outside looking in, does it? It just seems, whereas Brooks seems that like that guy who gets along with everybody. Like Rory said so much about Liv over the past couple of years, and then he was going playing practice rounds with Brooks Koepka, and sort of, you know, it's sort of like, once he gets him back into the click, but, you know, it's sort of give him that bit of a, it wouldn't be that bad if we pick Brooks, because Brooks is still all right with everyone, whereas like Bryson's like completely Liv.
And all that, yeah.
He's had his Brooks beef and all that, so I don't know, maybe that might have edged it, but I agree.
He's different, isn't he, Bryson? So he is,
yeah.
And then he did fall off form a bit, didn't he? Remember, he was topping them and all that, and then yeah, he obviously come back and...
But he did say now he's playing...
everything, when you think about it, like...
Did this thing, but he's come out and he said, I'm playing better than I did at wing foot. So
it's just another little left of Johnson, isn't it?
It is, yeah, but you're right. I think... I don't know if he called Keegan Bradley. I'd imagine he would have done. But I just think, why are you calling Keegan and not calling Bryson? And that's my bust.
Yeah, no, it's cowardly, isn't it?
Yeah, it doesn't sit well with me, but yeah, it is what it is. Go on, what's your personal...
Well, speaking of cowards, my whole fantasy team was a coward this week. Fair but cowards, mate.
I picked Ewan and Rich Mansell this week.
Did you, yeah?
Yeah, so Ewan finished top 10, and Rich finished, I think, 20-something, but they shot 5-over, 4-over in the final round. Ewan Ferguson went into the final day leading.
Yeah, I've seen that, yeah. I had 2 missed cuts and a withdrawal, me.
Did you?
And a Ryan Fox top 40 or something.
So you're going to be potentially minus points, are you? No?
Well, we still got the withdrawing problem, qualms, have we?
No, you just get nothing for that. But if you miss cuts in pot 2, you get minus 5 for that.
Yeah, we miss cuts in pot 2 and 3.
Pot 3 is all right, I think.
Yeah.
So yeah, you probably get about 5 points this week.
It's a joke, that. And I'm fuming. But you know what? I just picked it dead quick because I was thinking, oh my God, I was doing my fantasy team for the Premier League and I thought I needed the Bogey Boys one as well.
I got 3 made cuts. One of them was a top 10.
Yeah, I'm on your...
Whoop ass again there.
I know, I'm on your... I'm in your shadow in all sorts of fantasy.
But part of the bust is obviously the fact that we've not been able to keep on top of that as well as we should have, really.
Yeah.
We've obviously got this full season that we've not rushed straight back into, but we wanted to keep the momentum of how successful the first full year on the system was. So we've done a full season. We've increased the prize fund, haven't we? But we've just had a little bit of issues with the technology, so we've not been able to get the live leaderboards. But now that we've got a week off this week...
You've got a week to fix it.
Ryder Cup, we'll have it all singing and dancing ready. And the reason that the technology problems have occurred is because we're looking to make improvements for when it starts again in January, and have biggest one ever, aren't we? So
the biggest one ever.
This is the biggest one ever.
It's the greatest show on the earth.
Right then, so yeah, Team Europe, Team USA, Ryder Cup is upon us.
Do you want to just go through the Open de France just like quickly?
Yeah, we can. So yeah, let's have a little review of that. Yeah,
just that.
Did you see Ewan's put on the first?
No.
So he had a birdie put on the first hole.
Yeah.
He's leading the tournament. He puts it off the green into the water.
Was that Ewan?
That was Ewan.
I seen that video. I didn't know it was Ewan,
though. That was Ewan, yeah. On the first hole.
And it goes down the hill and then off to the... Wow.
Yeah. Made double bogey. And then on the second hole, made double bogey. Mansell, on the other hand, I know Mansell birdied the first, got himself to 9 under and a few back, and then made an 8. On the second, the par 3.
Wow.
Put it in the water. So they, obviously, Ewan's started double-double. And Jordan Smith started birdie-birdie. And Jordan Smith, after 2 holes, has got a 6-shot lead.
Yeah, well, that's what I was just going to get into there. But Jordan Smith got us to a flyer, didn't he?
Yeah.
But, like, that first hole, Yannick Paul and Lombard, who were both playing with, how do you say his name, the winner?
It is.
It's a Sunni.
It's a tough one. I call him Rio.
Rio. Rio passed the first, and then the other two, double it.
Yeah.
So all of it, like, so that I was thinking, when things like that happen, I know it's in the penultimate group and that, but you can almost get a bit shook by your playing partners, can't you?
Yeah.
And like, I sort of thought that happened because he made a bogey then on the fifth, then Jordan had a 5 or 6 shot lead, and then he birdied the next one, and then birdied the ninth, birdied the 10th, parred 11, birdied 12.
Yeah.
And then he shot six under from the back 10.
Yeah, back 10.
To win. And it was, he was not only stiffing it, but he was knocking a few like clutch 10 footers in and stuff, and he was loving it.
Well, that gets him in the, that puts him up to 11th now in the DP World Standards.
I thought that was his first start.
It's his first win. Yeah. No, he's had a decent season, to be fair.
Has he, yeah?
Yeah, he has, yeah. Only the third Japanese player to win.
Yeah, well, yeah, 66, 69, 66, 69, 66, 6 under.
Yeah.
Which is obviously claimed his first DP World Tour victory. But it was good that he come out, and he was quite a few behind, wasn't he? And he said that my plan was just be brave and play aggressive. And then
it's hard around there to be great. It was
on one of the holes. It was on the back nine, I think it was on the 13th or 14th. The pin's back right, and there's a cameraman in the middle of the green, and like, that's your line. And he draws it nowhere near the cameraman, draws it over the water into the flag. It's an unbelievable shot, wow. Knocks it in for birdie.
Yeah, it is, because even on 18, when Migliozzi won, and he hit that shot into 18,
yeah,
and like stiffed it, and it was like, he's definitely not aiming to put it there. No way. So close to the water, not a chance. But that's just the way it works sometimes, isn't it? So, but yeah, another man you mentioned there, Yannick Paul, obviously missed out on his Ryder Cup pick. He finished 6th again, another strong finish. He's up to 15th in the DP World Tour rankings, and he's currently holding one of the PGA Tour cards. So I had a little look at the top 10 who are potentially going to be leaving the DP World Tour. There's 5 regular events to go, and then the DP World Tour Championships on the 16th to the 19th of November. So you've got Ryan Fox, Adrian Maronk, Minwoo Lee, Victor Perez, Alexander Bjork, Bobby McIntyre, Yush Lauten, Yannick Paul, Thorbjørn Olesen, and Romain Langasque.
Could be all gone.
They're the 10 that are currently holding the cards that haven't already got one on the DP World Tour. It goes down to like 19th in the rankings.
Yeah, because everyone's already got them.
The others have got them, yeah. Yeah, no, but do you know what I did? I enjoyed this one because every time I watch it, I think of the Ryder Cup. I know we moaned last time about having that event there, but it's sort of, you can get the Ryder Cup feels when you're watching it with the Ryder Cup coming up the next week.
Yeah. On that, the only gripe I've got is that 18th, where obviously it's a tough shot into that green, isn't it?
Yeah.
100, I think it was 200 yards Rio had in. And everywhere you look is just littered with divots. If that was the Ryder Cup or something, obviously it could be the tournament on the line for him. And then you're in a divot into that shot. It's just
divot zones. Needed.
Divot zones needed. Rapido.
Yeah. Decent win for him. First one.
No, brilliant.
Yeah. Quite a few winners, different individual winners on the DP World Tour this season, haven't they?
Yeah, no, definitely.
Had a little Luck Baldwin. Had another decent tournament. He made the cut. I think he finished like middle of the pack after the cup, but he's up to 62nd in the DP World Tour rankings now, or 67th, and top 60 get to the Tour Champs, don't they? So he'll have to give a big push now to get into the DP World Champs.
That's it. Like when we interviewed him, he said that he wants to get back above where he believes he should be after all his injuries and
yeah, he feels like he belongs in Rolex events, doesn't he? Do you know what I mean?
Course,
playing major championships.
Yeah. And
so,
like, he's won, so it's,
you can't argue that.
You can't, yeah. That's him.
Team Europe.
I feel like they've got a bit of a grip between the teeth, the Team Europe. Like,
what helped was at the BMW Champs, wasn't it?
They're all up there.
Final day. Yeah. Like, at one stage, the top 6, top 7 was like all the Ryder Cup players. And I know none of the Americans went over, so that could be an argument for it. But, you know, they're all playing well. Every single one, all 12 made the cut. All 12 played, all 12 made the cut. So that shows you the level.
On the Sunday, you think they were all in the top 10, weren't they? Like 6 of them were in the top 10?
Yeah, yeah.
Hatton, Aberg, Tommy, Rory,
Victor,
Rahm, and Hovland.
Yeah.
Like, that's what you want to see, your boys on the charge, don't you?
Yeah, 1,000,000%, yeah. And I think it's a good balance of rookies and experience. And, you know, obviously Victor Hovland and Shane Lowry, this is only their second go. But last time, they got absolutely annihilated, didn't they, at Whistling Straits? So they've only got bad experiences, so they'll be more hungry than ever to be like, I'm not going through that again.
But Tommy there was talking, he was saying, like, he was recalling how much it burnt, like, to see them win. And he was like, I can still smell the smoke from Xander Schauffele's cigar mixed with the spray of champagne. All of us stood there and thought, we want our chance to get back. He said on the flight on the way home, they were all a little tender and hungover, but they were already planning on what we can do better to the next Ryder Cup to bring it back.
And I think
they've been plotting for 2 years. Like,
well, honestly, yeah, because that's how much it means to them, isn't it? I think, obviously, Rory McIlroy was there last time. He's arguably the strongest player on the team, isn't he? I know there's an argument for Rahman Hovland, but I personally think Rory's the strongest.
In a match play situation, like, you'd back Rory, wouldn't you?
I think so, yeah. I think, and last time at Whistling Straits, he only got 1 point, didn't he, and played all the matches. And he personally came out and said how much, you know, he felt like he'd let the team down at that point. So again, he's got another point to prove, hasn't he?
Yeah, 1,000,000%.
Yeah.
I wonder, I know this is a bit of a conspiracy theory, this, like, but obviously it's a completely different look Ryder Cup team, isn't it, now? Like, yeah, all new, young, fresh blood, all the people in the 40s, but they've all went to Live as well. Like, do you reckon there was any, like, talks of Live then?
Possibly. Do you mean what at Whistling Straits?
Like, Jack and they knew that, like, and
was the Mickelson stuff out then, was it?
Not too sure. I can't remember the timelines in me noggin.
No.
All I was thinking was, like, say,
there was definitely, one thing there was definitely talk about that Premier League golf and that format. Maybe.
Just like, imagine, like, thinking, and then they've got all these contracts, they're all worried, nervous, thinking, was it going to come out? What's going to happen? That we've committed, and then they just all have a shocker.
Oh, do you mean they played crap because of the worry?
Not just because of the worry, yeah.
Yeah, potentially.
Lawsuits,
yeah.
Litigation, they just knew what was coming. I don't know.
Maybe.
Just jumped into bed with the Saudis there, Jesus.
Let's go through Team Europe then. So I've just mentioned Rory there. You've mentioned Tommy. Obviously, John Rahm started off well with the season. 3 victories in his first 5 starts.
Yeah, he was flying,
the Masters, yeah. Got himself to world number one. He's got a record of 4 wins, 3 defeats, 1 half. In his 2 Ryder Cup appearances, it goes without saying that he's going to have to play well if Europe are going to win, isn't he?
Oh, of course. Yeah. We need all the big anchors, don't we?
I think so, because if you look at it, probably McIlroy, Rahm, Hovland, out of everybody there, they're the three that are probably going to play the most matches.
Yeah.
They get picked, unless they're tired, they'll get picked for most of them.
Of course, yeah. 1,000,000%.
Then if you look at Hovland, obviously, top the PJ Tour standings this year. Didn't start the season too well, but obviously had. Now he's playing some of the best golf of his career, heading into Rome, isn't he? I mentioned before he made his debut at Whistling Straits, so he's got a bit of experience. What are you expecting from Hovland this time around?
I think he's just missed the consistent, isn't he? Like, he puts well, drives the ball well, he seems to have nerves of steel.
That's a big one, and it put him well.
And he's in the form of his life, like you've just said. So, again, them top six that we just mentioned, even take Aberg out of it, like, who were playing well at the BMW, like Hatton, Hovland, Rahm, Rory, Tommy, like them five, then they're like, you're expecting them to go and do the business. And then obviously you've got Aberg, Nicolai Højgaard, who are coming in. McIntyre is another one who, listen, he could turn up and absolutely wipe the floor, or he could turn up and do nothing.
Well, the one thing with Aberg, you know, there was umming and ahhing about whether he was going to get picked. He eventually got the pick because he won at the Omega Masters, but maybe he was getting picked before that. Luke Donald did actually come out, didn't he, and say, when I played with him, I was blown away by how he hits the ball. Looking at the statistics there, since he started playing on the PGA Tour, he leads the tour strokes gained off the tee.
Yeah.
So when you're playing foursomes and you've got somebody who's constantly right down there keeping the ball in play, it's going to give you that chance, isn't it? Even though he isn't inexperienced, he's a winner on the DP World Tour now already. So
yeah,
do you play him more, or do you sit him out and just play foursomes? What do you do?
The only thing I was thinking about Aberg is, I thought he would have just took Wentworth and just shot a little 5 under the final day there and just cruised it, but he didn't. He blew it. That's my only worry.
You've seen a weakness in him.
He's crumbled any final round of a bigger event. Like, his progression should really be taking that Rolex event out and going to win on the PGA Tour.
He's
getting picked after 4 months of being a pro.
Yeah, he was chasing Fitzpatrick for the Omega one. Whereas on this one, he was leading.
He was leading overnight, had to sleep. But look, it's what doesn't kill you makes you stronger, doesn't it? So
yeah,
he's obviously just going to learn from that. And you need them setbacks, don't you? Like, it can't all be sunshine and rainbows, can it?
Well, and then Fitzpatrick as well, obviously had a great season again this year.
50, that was my sixth.
But in his appearances so far, he's 0-5. He's lost every match he's ever played. So
drop him.
But obviously now he's a major champion. He's done a lot of work in the gym, which has been well publicised. He's hitting the ball longer and straighter than he ever has. He's a different Fitzpatrick than we've seen in the past, isn't he?
No, definitely.
He's a top 10 player in the world now. So again, I've got high hopes for Fitzpatrick. Same with Tyrrell Hatton as well. You know, he played well in Florida this year. He went close in the Arnold Palmer and the Players. He's had top five finishes at Quail Hollow, Byron Nelson and the Canadian Open. And he's fourth in strokes gained putting on the PGA Tour this season. So I think, you know, you look at how well Hovland puts, how well Hatton's putted this year. I think that could be a partnership that it could end up being undefeated. I think them two should definitely play together.
Yeah.
So let's go through everything that we've talked about there. Obviously, the people who I think are potentially the weak links, Justin Rose, Sepp Straka, just because it's Sepp Straka's first go, he's dipped a bit of form. His win at the John Deere was probably what done enough to get him over the line, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Getting himself to the Tour Championships. And then he went and finished runner-up at the Open. And then Justin Rose, again, it's experience in it. This is his sixth appearance at the Ryder Cup. So he's not been, like, blowing people's socks off, has he? So you look at that and you think, is he one for the dressing room? Is he going to get that many opportunities? What partnerships out of them 12 would you like to see? We'll go four balls first. What do you think would be the better four balls and then foursomes?
See, it's a mad one, because they've all got like similar games, haven't they? Like, I think you want to put a bit of a bomber who's maybe a little bit looser, like a Rahm, with a McIntyre who's got like a bit of a heavy short game, like a Wizard with the wedges, or a Rory.
In better ball,
yeah, because then...
If you do have a bit of a wayward hole.
If you've got a wayward hole, you've got, like, the escape artist with the thing, you know, you don't really want, like, a two big wild bombers.
That's what I'm thinking. Do you go full strength? Do you go, let's go Rory Rahm, let's go...
Now, see, Rory Rahm is a danger combo, because they've both got the wildies in them as well.
So
I'd say, like, Rory, McIntyre.
Would you
get play? Yeah, and get, like, a... Put an A-Berg with a Rahm.
So who do you not... If you're picking eight players out the 12 now, you're captain of Team Europe.
Yeah.
You've got to pick eight players out the 12 to play the four balls. Who are you picking and what's the order?
So I'd send out Rahm and Bobby.
First.
Okay. I'd send Rory and A-Berg out.
Second, yeah.
Then I'd send Hovland and Hatton together, and yeah. Then I'd send out, see, I don't know, then I'd probably send out like a mad one, like a Højgaard and a Straka, just to get them a bit of experience, hoping that we'd be 3-0 up by that point.
You wouldn't play Fitzpatrick and Fleetwood first day?
No, I don't know. Yeah, I was just thinking that, because if you play all the big boys, then your rookies are sitting out then, aren't they? Then you know what I mean?
You play all your big boys and you get beat 3-1 in the first session, confidence is hitting it.
Exactly. That's so you want to? I'd keep Fitzpatrick and Tommy back
for the foursomes.
For the foursomes, yeah, because they could come back to bite you, couldn't it? Do you know what I would do? Honestly, if I was Team Europe, I'd do what that Azinger done, and I'd pod them all up and I'd let them all get amongst it themselves and learn who likes each other and pick their own teams and get out there. I'd plant that seed though about, like, don't be putting two wildies together, lads.
Yeah, because the week before the BMW Championships, they all went out, didn't they, together to go and practice.
Well, that's where I got McIlroy and Aberg from, because Rory said, like, I was on the bandwagon and then I played with him at Marco Simeone and I was certainly front row for it. Like, I am a fan now. Like,
well, that's it. Like, I know you just mentioned there that he did sort of shit the bed at the final day at the PGA Champs there and didn't get that over the line. But to win back to back on the DP World Tours. Not many people do it. You've got to be a certain talent.
Oh no, it wasn't expected of him like at all, but it was.
Yeah, I just mean when you look at like he's had 7 rounds there. 4 of those rounds he's won a tournament, and then the other 3 he's leading the Rolex event.
And I just think like world number one amateur, like the everything that's piled on him, all the hopes, all the expectations. Like if he just went and beasted Wentworth, it's like you are the next.
You are the man. Yeah.
Whereas like now you've got to crumble in your early doors. It's like how many times are you gonna do that?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, there's that weakness there.
But then
it's
like any like in the UFC when a fighter comes out and goes undefeated, 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 and then next minute they lose, you can do them in.
Yeah.
So you're half better losing early, aren't you?
Suppose you're right. Yeah, definitely.
Who would you pick?
I'd go full at me. Strong. Yeah. I'd go McIlroy Rahm.
What?
First out.
Really?
Just to lay it down, yeah. And then I'd go Hovland Hatton. Then I would go Fitzpatrick Højgaard. And then I would go Fleetwood Abig.
Would you, yeah?
And then I'd leave.
See, Fleetwood Abig.
I'd leave McIntyre.
It's not a good combo that they played together at that final round. They don't like it. They're all over the place, them two together.
Fleetwood and Abig.
Yeah, I watched them at the BMW. They were all over the shop. I'd keep them away from each other.
Got bad vibes, have they?
Yeah. Nah, Listen, it's a lottery, isn't it? Like, you could put any two out together. There's not.
But Tommy's one of the informed players in Team Europe, the way he ended the season. Had his best ever finish on the PGA Tour, playing very well. You know,
he is
challenging again at the BMW Championships. He's playing some. You've just got to be hopeful for Team Europe this time around, haven't you? Knowing how well everyone's playing and how low they can go. Nicolai Højgaard can go low. Obviously, Sepp Straka, unbelievable player as well. Justin Rose, I mentioned there. On the form guide, if you were just going on form, you probably couldn't argue that Justin Rose gets in ahead of Adrian Meronk if you're going off form. But the fact that this will be his 6th event and you've got so many rookies already in the team,
is it more of like it's your last event? And you've got to remember, the dressing room behind the scenes has been wiped out of all, like, obviously Ram wanted Sergio trying to pay all his fines to get back on the team to be part of it, saying he can't sit out till next year. But so the year after, Sergio could probably be in the dressing room if it all gets sorted out.
Yeah.
So Rose just being around there, tease him up to be captain again. He'll be the next captain, Rose, I reckon.
Yeah, potentially, yeah.
Like,
I think so. I think when you consider what he does for the game with the Rose ladies.
Yeah, and him and his wife.
Him and the wife, what they do for golf. Yeah, it's unbelievable. I think maybe this is his last chance, I suppose. But don't get me wrong, there's nothing stopping him winning every game that he plays.
Oh, listen, he's got the ability to. I just jibbed them shanks that he was doing at Royal Liverpool, did he?
I just look at the team in general, and I think we're strong.
No, we are. But and do you know what else we've got? We've got the 13th man as well, haven't we? It was COVID last time, wasn't it? So there was hardly no fans, the European fans over there.
Yeah.
So that's another big one, like our home ground with all the fans, all the cheering.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's a fun fact for you. Abig is the only player to ever play a Ryder Cup before a major.
Interesting.
Mad that, isn't it?
Yeah. It's a big risk, really, because safety would say to you, pick Meronk and he's playing well, and you wouldn't have batted an eyelid, would you?
Not at all.
Like, that's fine. To pick him, though, it's ballsy. So I'm backing that 1,000,000%. And I think he's exciting. Abig steps up on the tee, like an Abig with somebody like a John Rahm or a Rory McIlroy, it's like an exciting partnership.
I can't believe you've literally predicted. Who would have thought we'd be speaking about Rory McIlroy and Abig here? Like, and just you, mate. And then you're not even sending them out together in your fantasy team.
No, I am sending them out, just not together.
Yeah. So again, we're all getting hyped up and buzzing about the Europe team, but I mean, the USA team is not exactly a joke.
Well, they're holding 3 of the majors and they got the world number one, so
exactly.
Max Homer as well, he's won like 3.
All 12 of them are sitting inside the top 25.
Yeah. Oh, don't get me wrong, it's an unbelievably strong team, like Team USA. I just think Team USA over the last few years have always gone in stronger, though.
No, of course, yeah.
They struggle to win in Europe, so I think if you think of how the Americans do when they come over and play in Europe, plus of how well the European team's playing and how stronger it is compared to Whistling Straits, it just gives you that air of confidence. But I agree, like Scotty Scheffler, Max Homer, Wyndham Clark, Sam Burns, Patrick Cantley, Ricky Fowler, Brian Harman, Brooks Koepka, Morikawa, JT, Jordan Spieth, Xander Schauffele. Wow.
Five of them weren't even born the last time USA won it on European soil.
Weren't they?
93.
I'm trying to name them.
Scheffler.
Scheffler, Burns.
Spieth. Fowler.
Fowler. He's about 40, isn't he?
Fowler, lad. Who else then?
Old Wyndham Clark.
Getting on. Right, Sam Burns.
Sam Burns, Scheffler.
Max Homer.
Max Homer, Colin Morikawa.
Morikawa and Scotty Scheffler.
Yeah.
That's them, innit?
We'll take them.
So do it with another little fun fact for you. I'm full of fun facts today.
Go on.
The person who made the cup clinching putt in 93 is now a 59-year-old assistant captain. Davis Love III. Mad dad, innit?
Yeah. So he's last time that they won in Europe, he was the...
He held the run and put. But Scheffler's like, it's crazy how we've had six straight losses on the road with stack full of Hall of Famers like Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson, Dustin Johnson, Jordan Spieth.
It's like... back to that 13th man, though.
Exactly.
That's exactly what you were saying there, that 13th man, the European fans. And it isn't... It would be intimidating, you know, every time that you step onto a tee, you're getting booed and... Every time one of our putts go in, everyone goes wild. So, yeah, it's going to be an aim. Well, I can't wait for it. I love it.
I think Scheffler's going for the other approach. He's like, we've got a lot of fresh blood on the team this year. Only a handful of guys have played over there. I like our chances. Ignorance is bliss.
Fair enough.
Do you know what I mean? You just turn up and have a day and you're off, aren't you?
Not world number one for nothing, is he?
Yeah.
I think if I'm going to pair them together, I think Jordan Spieth and Justin Thomas go together, don't they?
Yeah, I think that's what they've been picked for, isn't it?
Yeah, I think Cantley and Schauffele go together. We know that. So I think there's two sets of people who've got that relationship. I'd like to see Brooks Koepka and Scotty Scheffler together. And then I'd probably go
That's too much firepower, that. You know, I think Brooks and Burns or Scheffler.
I think Homer and Scheffler. Homer and Burns are friend. Like,
or Brooks and Harmon.
Yeah.
I think he needs a little papa, didn't he?
So we just Harman, yeah, I think Harman's better ball because he hits it short than foursomes around there.
Yeah.
He's going to leave definitely. Them a bit too much in
his own
he?
Game.
Yeah.
Yeah, leave Harman out the thing, yo.
I think Harman foursomes.
I reckon we're going to batter them, you know. Just thinking about it. I reckon we're going to absolutely wipe the floor with them, you know.
It's a lot even than it has been in the past, I'll be honest.
Yeah.
It's definitely... Definitely a more even Ryder Cup. But they're probably looking at ours and saying there's holes in the team there and there's weakness in the team there. You know, Shane Lowry hasn't played well all season. Obviously, Straka, Justin Rose, Nikolai Højgaard, rookie, Robert McIntyre, rookie. What A-Bay is going to turn up? So
I think, though, like Ricky Fowler, Justin Thomas, Jordan Spieth, I know they're not old, but like... They probably only got a couple left in his Fowler, like lucky to get in. Justin Thomas got a pick. Fowler's been dipped. All three of them have had massive dips in form and come back.
Yeah.
Like they could easily just not show up.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
So that's three players out of the team. Wyndham Clark and Brian Harman have just had worldy seasons. They're not like showstoppers, are they? The only major players is the showstopper, Xander Schauffele, Scheffler,
Cantley,
Cantley, and Koepka. Homer is, yeah, he's on his way up. And Morikawa had a bit of a flash in the pan. Sam Burns won it. Yeah, they're a bunch of crabs, lad.
Crabs, lad. How do you?
They are getting it.
Team Europe, let's go.
They're favourites as well. Just checking the odds before.
I reckon, yeah. I can see why. I know what you're saying, though. Yeah. It's definitely going to be close. I wasn't really surprised that we got battered at Whistling Straits because it was in America and... Their team was just unbelievable. But I think you look at the change in the team, you know, no Bryson, no Dustin Johnson.
Well, if you know what, like not picking Bryson after like it was, and then he's come out again and just proved that he shot 800 to win by one, like holing 80 footers, like getting the crowd going at the live this week. I think Johnson would be gutted there.
Yeah.
Like, he'd be thinking, well, I should have picked him.
Yeah, definitely, you should have, yeah. But again,
he's got Brian Harman plodding it 250 when Bryson could be knocking on the green 350. Like, remember he knocked it on the green and just took his putter out on the tee and then rolled it in for the eagle against Garcia.
First hole, one off. Yeah,
like that's Ryder Cup. That, Ryder Cup's not 250 then into 7 iron from 120. Do you know what I mean?
And in order for America to win, see, it's been a long time since they've won in Europe. They need to like calm the crowd down. They need to get up a couple in the first. You know, they need to be like two or three up through six.
The European fans might do an Ajax and just start smashing the stadium up.
Match abandoned. Now looking forward to it.
Do you know what? I know. Are you got any more left on that?
No, that's me done. Looking forward to it.
Do you know what I forgot? Only played Centurion.
Oh, only played Centurion.
Only played Centurion, mate.
How was it?
Amsterdam forgot, made me forget about that. Oh, mate, got on the tee and they were like, "What tee you want to play from?" Like, we were like, "I played. Play the same as the women," and he's like, "You get next, like at the first a par four, but then the fifth, something else goes to a par." He's like, "You might as well just play off these," but then we were further back than the women, and just got on the first and just absolutely sent one straight down the middle, man. And the fellow's like, "Oof, maybe you should go back at tee," and then knobbed the 4 iron about 20 yards along the floor from the middle of the fairway. I'm like, wow.
Did you walk it?
Yeah, walk.
It's quite a walk, isn't it?
Oh, there's some good. Yeah, it's a good walk.
Yeah,
taking in all the scenery. You know, like everywhere Jana went, I feel like my ball was following. Like I put it in the bunker on the third. I put it left in the trees on four. I put it long of the green on five. I was like, wow, birdied the sixth.
What's the hole where it's downhill with the pond in front of it, like 12? Is it?
Yeah, 13. 12. Wow.
My favourite hole, that.
Knocked one clean into the trees on that one.
Did you?
It's a lot harder, yeah.
The video I seen you in the fairway and onto the green, like.
Yeah, that's after me chip out there.
I was thinking that.
We
don't see the chip out.
But I haven't hit one left all day, and I just thought I'll aim one. Wind off the right, I thought I'll hold one against the wind, and it just went, flew. But it's mad. It must
have. Like four seasons in a day, didn't you?
Oh, it was crazy, yeah. Because I don't know if this is the exact reason for this, but I feel like because it's a private members club, all the trees are like cut. That high off, like about, obviously no one can see this, but like they're about 3 foot off the ground. So you can get into the trees and find your ball and play it off your knees. But like it's mad.
3 foot trees?
No, the trees are massive, but the high off the, like they don't start till high up. Do you get me? So you can go under into them.
Oh, okay. I get it. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not like a bush down to the floor, like a gorse or not. It's, right, like, it's like a tree where you can
see. All right. I get it.
Like, it's mad. Yeah. So like on one of these holes on the 10th, snap hooked it left. Found my ball in this absolute cabbage. Hacked it out. It flew into the next trees over there. Hacked it out into the green tower bunker. Chipped it up to like out the bunker to like 6 foot. And then rolled a little slidey downhill one in. And then the other two lads we were playing against, they had shots, both on the green. Well, one was just off the green, one was on the green. And four-putted it. And I won the hole. And they were like, "Oh, have you won that hole there?" Like, that is unbelievable. It's like, you haven't even seen the grass. Oh, it was a proper lockout match play moment. But the course, man, like, if you could go back down there in summer, get there with the greens and running thing. Yo, bumped into a Pedon athlete, Jason Croucher, down there randomly. Was at Wentworth the day before, which was crazy. And then he was playing behind me at Centurion the next day, totally random.
Yeah.
And he was invited us down to the Shire and to Birkdale as well. So,
good few rounds today. I'm getting the invite for once, to be honest.
Yeah, you can come down whenever you want, mate. You've made the rod for your own back, though, haven't you?
Yeah, the children.
I
know. Oh, well. What can we say? Anyway, it's been a pleasure getting back on the mic with you, mate.
It has been great.
Looking forward to the Ryder Cup. Well done, Team Europe, on retaining the Solheim Cup. And good luck, Team Europe. And we'll see you all soon.
Let's go, champ.
Ciao.
Ciao.
Thank you.